Today's word comes from something that God was showing us as we were praying together at the encounter meeting. I don't know whether you're aware, but in the last couple of months, there have been five members of our family who've had heart problems. Some have had procedures, some have had operations, some are being investigated. And when that happens, if that ever happens in your life, that you get things that kind of come all together, it's always worth asking the question, God, are you saying something? Okay? And that's the question I ask. God, are you saying something spiritually? Because we're having these physical heart problems. And sure enough, God showed me very quickly two words. One's from Proverbs 4:23. Above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. And I thought, wow, that's interesting. Quickly followed by Proverbs 4:23. Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. And I thought, well, this seems to be that God is saying, look, you've got these physical things that I'm dealing with, but I want you to look a bit deeper at the spiritual significance of hearts. Hearts are very important to the human body. They pump everything around so that we live. Amen? And our hearts are very important spiritually for us. And one of the greatest things the enemy uses in the church is discouragement. And that word is closely aligned to being disheartened. Amen? And we as Christians, when we face certain issues in our lives, whether it's sickness or problems in the family or whatever, the enemy is always hovering to see if he can dishearten us, discourage us. Amen? Anybody know that's true? Anybody get discouraged? Amen? And God just brought my attention to this because the enemy works mostly in discouragement when the church is on the verge of a breakthrough. When there's about to be a transition and something new in the church, the enemy will try and discourage and bring criticism and bring doubt before we can get cracking on the new thing. And I believe we are at a crossroads right now, and we're going to change. This church is on the verge of change, and it will be a radical change. And some of you will be tempted to be discouraged because of certain issues. Amen? Because none of us like change. It challenges certain things in our lives. And so we need to know how to deal with the discouragement that will surely come. It's no coincidence that the most powerful weapon sometimes God has is encouragement. It's one of the most beautiful ministries you can have, to be an encourager, because it puts faith into people's hearts. And God wants us to be encouragers. But the enemy always duplicates. So what he's doing is the opposite. To discourage and rob us of faith when we're about to do and see something new. And so I'm not preaching this today because I think all of you are discouraged, because I know many of you are not. There may be some here who are. But I'm not preaching it from that angle. I'm preaching it as a preparation of what is about to happen. So that when things shake and rattle, and they're doing that nationally, okay, we're going to face issues nationally that you could easily be discouraged about. But I'm talking about what God's going to do with this church. And it will be like an earthquake, I believe. And it will shake people. And so you need to make sure you do not get discouraged or disheartened because of change. Amen. Now, this is a time of year when we kind of reflect. It's the start of the new church year, September. And it's always good to just see where you're at. And just look at your life and say, well, how have I grown in the last year? And I believe we're going to see some wonderful things begin to happen. And so it's very important that we don't come from an angle of discouragement, but we come being encouraged and looking forward to what is to come, even though we don't quite know what's going to happen. And that's scary. Amen. And so I believe this word today is just a preparation for you not to be discouraged. When our courage fails, our passion is cooled. We lose inner motivation and we feel pain. Potentially discouraging events, words, trials, disappointments happen regularly in church life. Let's be honest, they do. In times of change, especially, and transition, the likelihood of these things occurring increases. Amen? So let's be aware of that. There are two major reasons why the enemy will foster discouragement in the church. Number one, disheartened people do the enemy's work of criticism and accusation. If you're disheartened, everyone's going to know about it. And in fact, you're doing the devil's work. So just be careful what comes out of your mouth. And what you think about. What is in your heart? Because if you're critical and judgmental, you're not doing God's work. You're a disciple of somebody else. If discouragement becomes lodged in our hearts, it will find expression in our mouths. Jesus said, out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. Matthew 12:34. If you're not happy, sooner or later, someone else is going to get it. And that discontent spreads like wildfire in the church. And before you know it, instead of a church of faith, you've got a church of questions. That's right. When discouraged, we are easily tempted to become critical and judgmental, especially if the source of discouragement is another person in the church or even a leader of the church. It's an internal thing. So that's number one. Secondly, discouragement robs people of motivation. And unmotivated people will not do God's work. To be a disciple, you've got to be motivated. You've got to be committed. You've got to be positive. A good illustration of this is found in the book of Ezra. Ezra 4, verse 4 says, "The peoples around them set out to discourage the people of Judah and make them afraid to go on building." If you remember, they were trying to rebuild the walls and the temple. But the enemy used discouragement as a major weapon to get them unmotivated to finish the job. Amen. So when this church begins to move and we have a fresh vision and a fresh heart to do new things, the enemy will come and try and slow it down, try and halt it, try and bring all kinds of dissension and questions to stop it actually getting off the ground. You're going to remember this in a few months' time. So, I want to give you very quickly 6 entry points of discouragement in changing church life. But also, I don't want to leave you with those. I want to give you tips on how to navigate through them. Amen? Good. The first one that the enemy uses is disappointment. Disappointment. Anybody here ever felt disappointed? We all have. How do we deal with it? During times of transition, changes are made in the vision, structure, or culture of the local church. That's what we're going to be facing in the next year. Changes of culture. Changes of ways of doing things. Adjustments in our vision. How are you going to respond to that? Well, I've been here 30 years and I don't like change. I like it how it is. When changes do not resemble or are preconceived idea of how God is going to accomplish his purposes, we may become disappointment. Disappointment can relate to unfulfilled vision. It says in Proverbs 13:12, "Hope deferred makes the heart grow sick." Maybe you've had promises about the church. You've had promises about your spiritual life. You've had promises about your ministry. And they haven't come fulfilled in the way that you thought they would. Prime target for disappointment. Disappointments may also relate to our own desire for ministry in the local church. During any restructure, we may be asked to step aside from our role, or another person may be asked to step in and take what we were doing on further. How are you going to react to that? We should all be training others to take over from what we're doing. That's called discipleship. Amen. I don't want to be up here necessarily every week preaching. I want to raise up people who go far beyond me to preach the word of God. So let's just see. We're not in competitive competition. We're here to encourage the ministries. And if you have to step back or change, then embrace it. Amen? God's not going to take something away with you without giving you something fulfilling to continue with, which probably will be better and more fruitful. That's why I believe elders and other ministries shouldn't be for life. Amen? They should be until that person's anointing is superseded by something else happening. You don't want demented old men like me leading the church just because we've got a label. Amen? We need to sit at the back and say amen. Well, you younger people, get on with doing the work of God. So, disappointment. Disappointments. What's the survival tips? At times like this, we must never lose sight of the fact that God himself is watching over our lives and our calling. And that as surely as he has promised, he will bring it to pass as we keep our hearts right. Amen? So as long as your heart's right, even if you finish one anointing, God will raise another because he wants to use you. Amen? And he wants you to be fulfilled and fruitful. So disappointment, that's the one thing. Watch out for it. Second one is hurts. During times of change in church life, relationship hurts can rise up very quickly. If we do not fully understand or appreciate changes being made, we may experience pain or offence. See, when leaders often share about change, we can see all the things that the reasons why it wouldn't work, instead of looking at the positive things that maybe God is saying. And we can get hurt by that. It puts our nose out of joint. Amen? Good old English expression. Hurt can also be personal. For example, people may hurt us through inconsiderate words or actions, which often are unintentional. But how easy and how sensitive we can be sometimes to what people say or the way they say it. And they don't even mean it that way. And yet we hold it in our hearts. Yeah? Keep your heart pure. The closer that person is to us, or the more authority a person carries, or the greater a position of trust, the deeper the wound can be. Sometimes the unsaid things bring pain. How many of you have said, well, I did all of that and no one said thank you? No one praised me. Sometimes it's what we don't say can cause hurt. So it's always good to thank people and say how much you appreciate them. Amen? That's a very positive thing to do. Thank yous that are due but not given, or encouragement that is withheld, can also lead to discouragement. If you're encouraged by what people are doing or have done, tell them. Amen? Tell them. Survival tip. It is important to deal with hurts when they occur, or as soon as possible afterwards. Apply honesty, transparency, forgiveness, and grace. So if you perceive someone has hurt you or said something that is hurtful, don't hold it here. Tell them. Talk it through. Be reconciled. Yeah? Thirdly, loss. Change brings loss, and loss brings grieving. This can be the loss of a ministry, a loss of familiar support structures, or even the familiarity of a culture of church life. How many people know this church will change radically as it grows? Churches of 200 need different gifts and different ways of doing things than churches of 50. Things must change. Progress must happen. Sometimes loss may be related directly to growth. For example, a pastor of over 200 people cannot give each congregational member the amount of attention and time as when the congregation consisted of 50. So you feel that there's been a loss. Amen? You don't get your weekly cup of tea with pastor. Hopefully, there will be a multiplication of pastors amongst the church, and we get even more attention. Survival tip. One other thing. If close friends leave the local church, we naturally go through a time of grieving. One of the most difficult things Leslie and I found when we were leading a big church is that people move on. And there's a tendency that you take that personally as a rejection. So easy to do. And it's usually just circumstance. So you need to deal with that. Survival tip. It's important to acknowledge grief and to bring it into the open. Our grief needs to be validated and expressed so that we can release it in a healthy manner and move on. See, some of you older people may think, well, I'm too old now to do anything. I'm finished. Untrue. The best is yet to come. You've got the Holy Spirit in you. You may not be able to stand up and preach or lead a Sunday school of 1,000, but you can pray and you can do other things and you can encourage people and you can prophesy. You're never redundant in the church of God. Only if you choose to be. Fourth area that the enemy uses is mistakes. Anybody made a mistake here? Change can be turbulent. Human error or misjudgment is more likely to take place during times of transition in the church. Imperfect human leaders cannot be expected to lead perfectly at all times. These are the times when we most need to extend grace to one another and to our leaders. If I'm reading the signs right, and this church is going to dynamically transition and change in so many areas of culture in the way that we do things, mistakes will be made. Amen. Hopefully, we'll see them and we can rectify them. But don't blame dear old Pastor Dave for everything that's happening. Amen. He's got enough on his plate. If he doesn't hear from God, that's why he's got friends and leaders around him who can say, yeah, that's good, or no, that's a daft idea. And sometimes we tell him it's a daft idea, don't we, Deborah?
I refuse to comment on the grounds it may incriminate someone.
Okay. But let's face it, we're all going to make mistakes. Let's operate grace. Amen. Survival tip. When we have concerns about the way changes have been led in our church, it is a fresh opportunity to place our trust in God. The Bible sets a clear precedent that in spite of real or perceived mismanagement of human leaders, God is sovereign, and his purpose for our lives, the community and the church, will ultimately be accomplished. So let's remember that. Let's remember that. We as leaders need to make sure we communicate with you clearly when changes happen. And that cuts out a lot of discouragement. Some people say, oh, I was the last to hear about that. What a stupid idea. So we've got a responsibility too, to make sure you know why a decision is being made and what are the reasons behind it. Amen? Fifthly, nearly there, second-hand discouragement. This is a killer. Discouragement is catching. It's like the flu. If you're discouraged and walk around with a face like a lemon, someone else is going to catch it. Because when they ask you why you're looking like that, out of the heart, the mouth speaks. And a whole lot of rubbish will be communicated. So, second-hand discouragement. Cut it out. Someone else's discouragement vocalized can be easily passed on to us. The saying, a burden shared is a burden halved, is a lie when that burden is an offense in the church. Survival tip, resist taking on another's personal discouragement. Another person's offense is a burden you weren't meant to carry. Once you take it on, it becomes your problem as well. Amen? So if someone comes to you and starts moaning about something, say, just hang on. Who have you got a problem with? Go and see them. I'm not interested. I'm not going to be polluted. I'm going to be flu-free. So push off and talk to him. Amen? If we did that in church, I tell you, there'd be a lot less disunity going on. Survival tip, resist taking on one another's discouragement. Another person's offence is a burden you weren't meant to carry. It's difficult to remove if you receive it. And finally, trials. Trials happen. Anyone going through a trial right now? Yeah, most of us. Big trials. Trials that we haven't got answers for. Trials that only God can deal with. Trials that He never wants us to carry. Trials happen, mistakes are made, structures erected to fulfill visions and dreams sometimes fail. Dry seasons occur, bad things happen to good people. And the local church is no exception. During change and transition, such difficulties are inevitable. A growing church means that problems and trials are multiplied. It's obvious. The more you grow, more people you have, and people have problems. So let's not be discouraged by that. God's in control. Trials are allowed by God and come so that sometimes your faith, which is greater worth than gold, which perishes even through refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory and honour when Jesus Christ is revealed. 1 Peter 1:7. Survival tip, remember that trials not only strengthen our faith, they are also part of God's learning process for the church, as well as for us as individuals. So I hope that's been helpful. Six things to look out for. We can deal with discouragement. Best way is to be an encourager. Dismiss discouragement. There will always be reasons for hurt and discouragement in a growing dynamic church. But I have learnt that discouragement is an enemy to be shunned with vigilance. However, discouragement can also be helpful. It can be like a flashing light indicating that there is something in our lives that needs attending to. Romans 14:17, our God is the source of encouragement and hope. The kingdom of God, says, consists of righteousness, peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Amen. And so let's not be discouraged, but let's be encouraged. When we look around this church, we've got lots of things to be encouraged about. The nation's in a mess. The church is about to change radically. But that will be for good. That will be exciting if you embrace it as the Spirit of God moving us forward. If you want to stay the same, I'm afraid you can't. Not if you're here. Amen? Because we want to go on, don't we? We want to get closer to God. We want to go for him and see all that he has for us in Jesus' name.